This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Round with Xiaoning and Philip. It has just gone past 7:46 in the morning. It's Wednesday, the 17th of February. And if we look at all the papers this morning, it's really about the vaccination plan, because we do know the vaccination program will kick into gear later this month with the first batch of some 30,000 Pfizer vaccines arriving on the 21st of February and the first vaccinations to take place beginning February 26.
Yeah, so Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin unveiled the official vaccination strategy handbook yesterday, which details the timeline of the vaccination as well as the logistics behind it. The government aims to vaccinate 80% of the population by February 2022 in three phases. In phase one, medical frontliners and essential workers up till April this year. This will be followed by vulnerable groups such as elderly and high-risk categories. All other healthy individuals, such as ourselves, can expect to receive the vaccine beginning May 2021.
And the good news is that this first vaccine is being made available free of charge to all nationals and residents of Malaysia, which is a policy stance that is very welcome and in line with the government stance, which is protect yourself, protect all. However, as usual, there will be many questions on the implementation of the program as it rolls out. But to answer some of the initial questions, we speak to Professor Dato Awang Bugiba Awang Mahmud, Secretary General of the Academy of Sciences in Malaysia and Head of the Independent COVID-19 Vaccination Advisory Committee. Good morning, Professor Awang. Do you think the National Vaccination Program provides sufficient clarity in terms of how the government intends to distribute the vaccine to the broader population?
There is some clarity in the plan, but I was hoping to see a bit more because the details are a bit sketchy in some areas. And I think people who are hoping to be able to get down and register right away, I think we'll be a little bit disappointed in that sense. So perhaps it'll become clearer in the coming weeks. And I must say 2 weeks away is already March. So I'm really hoping that something happens.
So what parts of it were unclear to you?
For example, of course, the website for registration is not very clear at the moment. And how you have to register manually, where you can register manually, for example. So I take it that there will be some health centers which are open for manual registration. They say there's some private hospitals, but not clear which private hospitals. I'm sure all the private hospitals, I suppose. And how the MySejahtera app is supposed to work, not very clear, for registration. I find it a bit odd. There's some overlap between phase one, phase two, and phase three. And there's also the no mention of integrating the vaccination between the federal and state governments, because some state governments are already saying that they will vaccinate their own population and so on. So I think this needs to be made clear. I remember a few days ago, my father telling me, he's staying in Kuching, and he's already received a letter from the DO's office saying that, would you like to register for vaccination? Now, that is, I think, nothing to do with the Ministry of Health. It's probably the state government which wants to vaccinate Sarawakians. So I guess there's some integration needs to be done there. So I think a bit of clarity, we hope, in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering whether this is an issue of the details are not there or they're not being disclosed at the moment to the public. I want to get your feedback about what can we learn from other countries that have already done the vaccination program so far? Because we have an ambitious target, 80% in a year's time.
Right. Some of the countries which have successfully rolled out, as you know, Israel, I think, is number one in the world. It's probably ahead of anybody else. The UK is not doing too badly. In Europe, probably the UK is the fastest to roll out its vaccine. And there are quite detailed guidelines which have been published by the governments in those countries and how you want to do it. And there's quite a bit of training, I think, and they've sorted out a lot of the logistic difficulties. So I expect that some logistic difficulties will arise. I've spoken about this in the papers, I think, quite a few times about the potential logistic difficulties, because you're not talking about vaccinating a couple of thousand people, you're talking about 26 million people over a period of a year, and that's not including our migrant workers and so on. That's going to add another few million. And the database for vaccination, I think, needs to be really robust. I do remember when e-filing for the income tax was introduced many, many years ago. Luckily, I did it very quickly, very early on. But those who were trying to file the income taxes at the end of the month were finding it very, very difficult to access the database. And that's just a few million taxpayers. We're not talking about 26 million people trying to register. So you've got to get a very good system in place, and you've got a good system in place to track. And you must remember that the registrations are all coming from all over the place. They're manual, they're MySejahtera, there's the website, that's the from the private sector, and so on. So how do you integrate this into a single system? And you have to do it, because you have to keep track where the vaccines are going, which centers, and so on. And of course, the cold chain will be another issue, because this is massive. And with the amounts of Pfizer vaccine, which is really a concern to me, because that requires minus 70 degrees Celsius storage, and there aren't a lot of minus 80 freezers around. I know there are a few, there are quite a number in the universities, but those are for research, and they're already full of samples. So you got to make sure that all this all ready when the vaccines arrive. And of course, the other issue, of course, the information, people trying to dissuade others to from getting vaccinated, the anti-vaxxers. And if anything goes wrong, then they will have a field day, you know. So I can think of quite a lot of things which can go wrong and which can hamper the rollout. But of course, I don't want to scare people here. But I think, seriously, I think we need to take a look at all these issues.
Is perhaps one of the solutions to have greater involvement of the private healthcare sector in the vaccination program? You know, for example, in the UK, they use pharmacies to actually vaccinate people. And maybe in Malaysia, we can consider GPs. Do you think that's a solution, perhaps?
Yeah. I would support that. I see that the Malaysian Pharmacy Society, for example, has been calling for involvement from their side. I can't see why they can't get involved. So should GPs, I think, as long as they keep track and the logistics can be sorted out, you know, how do you do, where are you going to do it, and so on. Like I said, the vaccines that we're going to buy, they're wearable. Most of them are okay. You can store between 2 to 8 degrees Celsius, which is fine. You know, the normal cold chain will apply, but the ultra low freezers, which are required for the Pfizer vaccine, which is a substantial proportion of the vaccines, I think it will prove a bit daunting. Yeah, so that has to be sorted out. But as far as pharmacies giving, I think there's no problem. And there are a lot of public health nurses out there. I used to work in the district a long time ago, and they're all trained to vaccinate children. And vaccinating adults is probably easier than vaccinating children. I would imagine.
Maybe unless they're reluctant adults, though.
Screaming adults.
I hope not.
I want to catch your point about the vaccination acquisition strategy, the portfolio. There are 5 vaccines.
Yes.
50% are Pfizer. You already raised the issues about the cold chain. Is this the right mix? And the challenge, the next follow-up question is, the remaining 4 have not yet been approved by the NPRA. How does that affect the delay?
Okay. Of course, the Pfizer one was the first out of the blocks, you know, to get approval. And I do like the Pfizer vaccine in one sense, in the sense that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines both use mRNA, and they use the entire spike protein as the target to create the entire spike protein. Now, why do I say about, you know, why do I talk about spike proteins? Because of the risk of mutations. Now, the other vaccines don't use the entire spike protein as a target. So mutations are less likely to affect the mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, simply because there are lots of targets for them. So unless all the targets mutate, which is extremely unlikely, and I don't think they'll be affected too badly by mutations. That's why when the South African government decided to suspend, for example, the AstraZeneca vaccine, that was because it was proving perhaps less effective for some of the newer variants which they found. And that's a different technology which they're using. They're not using the mRNA. And the mRNA, they tend to use the entire spike protein as a target. So I said, most of the mutations are in the spike proteins anyway. So you got to use the entire spike protein rather than, you know, some bits of it. Yeah.
And Professor, you highlighted one of the challenges is, of course, anti-vaxxers or the misinformation out there. How should the government actually address this issue?
You see, I'm not so worried about anti-vaxxers. I think if people who are really totally against, I don't think there's I think much that you can say to them to persuade them to change their minds. But I'm worried about people who are hesitant. The ones who are sitting on the fence, not sure whether they'll get vaccinated or not get vaccinated and so on. And these are the ones that the government should sway the opinion. And we should use the credible experts. For example, you should use community leaders. You should use, if necessary, door-to-door canvassing, kind of thing, something like elections. You should use people who are influencers in their circles, not necessarily social media. I think my dad asked me whether he should take the vaccine. He's close to 90, I think. So I say, yeah, go ahead. why not? You know, and you are generally healthy and kind of thing. So people are afraid because of the lack of information, and the information must be delivered in a non-condescending manner. I think I believe that people are reasonable beings. Like, you know, so if you talk to them properly, you don't assume that they don't know anything, and you tug at the heartstrings and so on. I think people will generally be agreeable.
And one last question from us, and a quick one. You know, there's a lot of hope pinned on vaccination rollout, that soon after that, life will get back to normal. But are these expectations realistic, given that there's a lot of questions about how long this vaccine immunity lasts, and also in the light of all the various variants emerging?
Yeah, okay. I don't think life will go back to normal so soon. I don't think it's even as early as 2022. Simply because you would have to vaccinate a substantial proportion of the world's population rather than just the Malaysian population. Yes, we can cover the Malaysian population, and we can control this disease, mutations notwithstanding, because if you vaccinate a large proportion and then when mutations come on, some of these vaccines are quite easy to redesign, to come up with a newer version. So that's not really the problem. The problem will be incoming infections. So we got to get the rest of the world protected, because otherwise they will be a source for further mutations of the virus, for example, and the source of infections which are coming in. So again, you know, it's true that no one's safe until everybody's safe. And that includes not just Malaysians, okay? We're talking about the rest of the world.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Professor Dato' Awang Bugiba Awang Mahmud, Secretary General of the Academy of Sciences in Malaysia and Head of the Independent COVID-19 Vaccination Advisory Committee, telling us about his views on the vaccination plan. And he says, yes, at the moment, there are parts which are unclear. I think we will probably be watching this space very, very closely. I think all of us are very curious about what's happening. When are we going to get our jabs? And it's a question we're also running on Twitter this morning. Who do you think will be the biggest? What would you think will be the biggest obstacle in the vaccine rollout? Do let us know what you think. But we're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And after that, we have the Breakfast Grill, where Chuang speaks with the CEO of MIDA. That's happening in a few minutes. So stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.